It's 12 o'clock, Newfoundland Daylight Savings Time. Stay tuned for the Great Eastern. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on the Great Eastern.
Mozart meets Mancini, Nino Rota meets Berg, or some such rubbish.
If I didn't take this gig, I'd be living on Dr. Ballard's and Aquavelva.
He climbed to the ring and the fans would just go wild, you know, chanting, Maestro, Maestro, Maestro.
Hello, Canada. Hello, Iceland. And hello, fellow Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. On today's show, the bouquet of fine art, intellectual discourse and badinage with a certified genius, remembrances of a musician past, and excerpts from the oeuvre of Paul Moth, host of the Great Eastern. All this for you, with me, Erling Biggs, here on Newfoundland's Cultural Magazine. As I speak to you today, Paul Moth, your regular host, is en route to the West Coast to receive a special citation from the Fine Arts Faculty of the University of Newfoundland at Corner Brook. UNCBA will honor Paul for his contribution to arts coverage in Newfoundland and for his years of work in audio diuretics. He will be inducted into the Hall of Honor and receive coupons valued at $250. Today, the BCN celebrates Paul Moth's achievement with a selection of his arts reportage since he took the helm of the Great Eastern in 1992. As we begin the review of the Moth canon, allow me to quote from the UNCBA citation. Paul Moth has shown extraordinary respect for artists and a propensity for intense involvement with art in a general way. Certainly, those qualities were much in evidence when Paul had the following encounter at the 1994 New Forms Festival here in St. John's.
Of all the new forms I've seen and heard and felt while wandering around the festival site, I think that the most intriguing has to be the work of Eckhart Wunderich, an olfactory artist from Alsace. His installation, or inhalation, consists of a dozen or so pedestals draped in black fabric, and on top of each of these are deep glass bowls. The show is called Schnuffeln das Freund, and to translate that for us, I'm joined now by the artist in question. Eckhart Wunderich, welcome to the Great Eastern.
Hello, Paul.
Eckhart, perhaps you could give our listeners a general idea of what olfactory art is.
It's so many things. I think all creative smelling and all smelly creation, really.
Are you a part of an olfactory school, or are there others working in this field?
Well, I was a member of the Freikunstladen in Hamburg from 1986 to 1989, and that's where I began to explore. And then I began creating smells more seriously in Berlin, and first with a group, the Gestank Gang, and then solo.
So you really are a pioneer then?
Yeah, but you could say that we are all in a way olfactory artists. Smells we remember, smells of childhood, of love, lover's perfume, fresh bed sheets, the smells of love, yeah? People talk of the smell of fear.
That's true. I mean, at the moment, for instance, I'm living at my grandmother's house, and boy, the smells there, I'll tell you, they bring me right back. Wood stove, chintz, bread baking, salt beef and cabbage. Yeah. Is this the kind of thing I can expect here at your show?
No. My earlier work was like that, but now I'm interested in more complicated memories of kind of dramatic smells, with a story. Portraits, I could say.
Olfactory portraits?
Yeah, people smell. I'm smelling you now. Stale cigarette smoke, coffee, a cologne is fading perhaps in your clothes, and egg, I think.
Yeah, egg McMuffin.
Yeah, you are lonely?
Well, let's have a look at, a smell of your work.
Sure.
How about this one, huh?
Yeah, how about that one, eh?
Well, it's, there's leather, musky, not entirely pleasant, and grass or dirt.
Yeah, this is Freistoff. It's a penalty kick in the soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see, you were there almost. You got some of the more obvious bouquets, the boots, the sweaty shirts, the pitch, and these anybody could get at their first time. But if you concentrate a bit more, you detect the smell of victory or defeat, nerves, anticipation has an aroma also.
It's amazing. It's almost like being on the pitch.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And what's this one? Oh, it's stifling and heavy, wet, or not really wet, but damp, oppressive. Like clay or earth. It smells a bit like the BCN building.
It is called Gesellschaft. I worked in the Staatsregierungsverein, and I was brutalized by the psychic vampires of the state bureaucracy. It drove me to put staples in my tongue.
It must have made quite an impression on you. But is this art just for galleries, Eckert? I mean, you couldn't really hang it on a wall, could you? You could put it in a kitchen, I suppose.
Well, this art is not comfortable art. It's not for the bourgeois home.
Do you sell much of this work?
No, because there is no price on my art.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, very funny, Paul. Very funny.
It's the Egg McMuffin. Those things just go straight through me.
Yeah, well, I guess that's it. You know, the.
Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
I don't want to ask any more questions.
Okay, Eckhard Wunderich, it has been wunderbar to meet you. Thanks for letting us nose around here with you and your smells. And have a great rest of the week. Eckhart, we never did get the show title. Schnuffeln das Freund?
Approximately, please smell my friend.
And so we did. That wraps up our brief sampling of some of the fine new forms here at the 4th annual New Forms Festival in St. John's.
Bouffant today, poof tomorrow. Bob's your uncle when University of the Air presents Professor Roxanne Hunter's History of Hair. Close argument? Hair splitting indeed. Madame Pompadour, G.I. Joe, Beaver Cleaver, Grace Jones, Vidal Sassoon, her suit, his suit, it doesn't matter. Put a crimp in your day with the coiffure of tonsorial history, Roxanne Hunter. It's a beehive of activity when University of the Air becomes University of the Hair. Wednesday at 11 a.m., only on BCN 520.
Paul Moth is a failed artist in the true sense. Not one who failed to become an artist, but one who became an important artist, making significant contributions to the Mexican cinema, and then failing in the larger arena of acceptable human conduct, before, of course, going on to become a radio host of local note. Paul knows the creative inferno. He's been there. And he has traversed those subterranean circles in the company of some truly exceptional talents.
Newfoundland mourns the death of composer, essayist, sportsman, enigma, Hugh Cuva. Hugh was buried this past Wednesday in his favorite cape and jumpsuit after a private service in St. John's. BCN producer Stuart Richardson prepared this portrait of El Maestro.
Music surrounded him as a child. Hugh's mother, Doris, was widely known for her passion for the piano, and of course for her singular incompetence with the instrument.
Cuva biographer, Candace Swindon.
The Cuva piano dealership was, I believe, at one time the biggest in all the empire.
His father, Geza?
Oh, a suspicious figure. Dark. Eastern European. Scarcely ever seen out in the daylight. Naturally, there was talk.
I've heard it said that Doris could be quite a tyrant.
Oh, yes. Hugh, who slept with his mother, would wet the bed even into his 20th year. She would immediately wake him and force him to tune all the pianos in the shop.
And they all slept in pianos?
In pianos. Yes, that's well known.
Well, the Hollywood years were very unhappy ones for him. He really felt that he was prostituting his talent.
screenwriter and longtime friend, Lawrence Winge.
And they were looking for high-concept composition at that time. A producer would say something like Mozart meets Mancini, Nino Rota meets Berg, or some such rubbish. And I think that that's the explanation for his abominable behavior at the Academy Awards. Although my friends in Lotusland tell me that it's not the first orifice that old Oscar's seen.
But you can understand Tom Cruise being so upset.
Certainly startled. Oh, but it's sad, because Hugh always had such a hard time making friends.
I think it was his deep loathing for the Baroque that brought you, in a backwards kind of way, to Bach.
Fellow post-minimalist, Arva Zeiler.
I would play some Bach, and he would begin to squirm, and his face would become contorted. Once he spat at me, and on another occasion, he soiled himself while listening to the Brandenburg Concertos.
Those were certainly Hugh's happiest days. You see, since he was a boy, Hugh had a tremendous fondness for professional wrestling. So when he was invited on the tour, naturally he jumped. Literally jumped on the opportunity.
He was one of the good guys, for sure. He was a real fan favorite, you know. He wore a cape and tuxedo jumpsuit. He climbed to the ring and the fans would just go wild, you know, chanting, Maestro, Maestro, Maestro.
You were one of the more despised villains then.
Yes, I was. I was El Maestro's arch enemy, scientist. I wore like a lab coat and safety glasses. And I always had a test tube of deadly chemicals in my pocket, which I would throw at my victims.
Are you really a scientist?
No, I'm not a scientist, no.
He was very confused. Even though his ability to play the piano was never affected by the drugs and so on. But he would completely lose track of where he was. I think that when he heard the applause after the triumph at Roy Thompson Hall, he thought he was back in the ring. And I really don't think that he jumped on poor old Andrew Davis because he'd done such a lousy job conducting Sriabin. I think that he mistook the conductor for his old wrestling nemesis, Scientist. Yes. He gave him quite an awful hammerhead, actually, or pile driver, I'm not sure what it's called, but... Yes, very, very, very effective wrestling move, actually. Davis was quite surprised. But it was very sad. Very, very sad incident.
My influences? Would you be surprised if I said, Eric Tatum? Obviously, you know, Horowitz. Gilles de Fishpoisson. Hugh Cuva. El Maestro, dead at 57.
That's a beautiful piece, Stuart.
Thank you, Paul. You know, for me, it's been a week full of surprising revelations about the life of Hugh Cuva. It really has.
Mm-hmm. You know, not many people know this, but Hugh and I were very close. We were in Los Angeles at the same time, and we had a mutual acquaintance in Laurel Canyon.
Sure, I guess two noofs away, you must have seen quite a bit of each other.
Yeah, we had some great times together. And when I bottomed out at the absolutely lowest point in my life, Hugh Cuva came forward and posted a bond. A brilliant, brilliant man. Mm-hmm. And a true friend. I only wish I could have been there for him. Let's go to some music.
Lucky's boat is painted green, a honey by it. Lucky's boat is painted green, the prettiest little boat you ever seen, aha, me riddle I day. Lucky's boat got a fine fork, cutty, a honey by it. Lucky's boat got a fine fork, cutty, and every seam is chinked with putty, aha, me riddle I day. Lucky's boat got hoist up sails, a honey by it. Lucky's boat got hoist up sails, and she was blanched with copper nails, aha, me riddle I day. I think, says Lucky, I'll make her bigger, a honey by it. I think, says Lucky, I'll make her bigger, I'll load her down with a one-plow jigger, aha, me riddle I day.
Luke is rolling out his grub.
Luke is rolling out his grub.
One split pea in a 10-pound tub. Me little I day.
Says Lukey, the blinds are down.
Says Lukey, the blinds are down.
Me wife is dead and underground.
Me riddle I day.
Says Lukey, I don't care. Says Lukey, I don't care. I'll get me another in the spring of the year.
Me riddle I day.
Newfoundland Voices for the Ages. That's Pamela Morgan and Anita Best with Lukey's Boat. Well, it seems it's time now for the game show that's reported to be the most popular in some corner of the province or the country or something like that. The idea here is that we play a noise recorded somewhere in Newfoundland and you make a guess at what you think it is. It's supposed to keep you interested in the show, forging the link between us and you. Bit of a pebbly premise, I think. Who knows what manner of listener is being cultivated by such trivial activity. Mine, however, is not the reason why. So, Hollis Duffett, I understand you're responsible for getting this sound out over the airwaves. Do your stuff. All right. So, without any further ado, I'll extricate an envelope here. This will serve as our entrant for this week. And it's from, it's a phone bill, actually. Oh, no, here we go. This is an entry written on the back of a phone bill. You know, in this era, the once treasured art of private correspondence seems to have lost its dignity somehow. Anyway, this is from Diana Bacon of Edmonton, Alberta. And Diana writes, "Dear Paul, this week's Newfoundland sound, I'm convinced, is one of the swings in the children's playground for handicapped and others in Pippi Park in St. John's. My husband and I visited the park quite a few years ago, but the sound is still vivid to me. Sincerely, Diana M. Bacon." Well, Diana, brave conjecture there, but I understand the noise is not that of a set of swings, so I guess that means we need more entries. I'll tell you what our mailing address is in a moment. First, Hollis Duffett, one more earful of the noise, please. Well, if you think you can identify that, write us at What's That Noise from Newfoundland, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5. Or you can email us. Our electronic address is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca.
Hello, I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. At 1:30, gather the kids around the radio for a trip up Gander Bay Way to Uncle Jack's shack. This week, Warden Coombs plays truant officer and tries to round up little Esau for some book learning, the Central Pentecostal Board way. But Uncle Jack is talking homeschooling and plans on teaching Warden Coombs a lesson he'll never forget. Write out, 100 times on Uncle Jack's shack. At 4 this afternoon, it's Playlets and Episode 6 of This Can't Be Happening to Me. This week, Dad wakes up in the wrong trousers, misses his biopsy, and then finds out he owes Mr. Gus $430. However will Dad pay? Mr. Gus has a terrible idea. That's on This Can't Be Happening to Me. On Monday evening at 10, be sure and tune in to Bombs Away with host Wing Commander Barclay Regular Retired. This week, the Wing Commander is joined by Captain Rex Prowse. Together, they'll question French conduct in the last war. Later, Sergeant Lester Cheeseman recalls the special gratitude shown him by a few leggy wrens when he arrived in a war-weary St. John's with 22 pairs of silk stockings and a rare bottle of lemon gin. As you were Mondays on Bombs Away with Wing Commander Barclay Regular. A full week of entertaining and informative programming on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. BCN, All Newfoundland Radio.
Artists have great respect for Paul Moss, and they sometimes demonstrate this respect in subtle ways. One such sign of recognition came in the summer of 1995, when Philip Dean, Newfoundland's greatest thespian, granted Paul a rare audience. Dean was playing the lead in The Portuguese Gaitering and Evisceration of Merchant Wareham, the smash-hit theatrical centerpiece of the Bale Argent Toym of Toym's pageant. Dean's conversation with Paul Moth was the first interview given by this notorious recluse in over a decade.
I'm in the sumptuous library of Wareham House, which overlooks Bale Argent, with its current occupant, Newfoundland's greatest living thespian, Philip Dean.
Welcome to the throbbing metropolis of Bale Argent, Paul. Like a drink?
No, thank you. Philip, you have the big role in the Toym of Toym's pageant, that of the tyrannical merchant Wareham. Now, is it a coincidence that you've been billeted, I guess, in Merchant Wareham's actual home?
A happy accident. There's a rider in my contract, square footage of my accommodations, dietary restrictions, companions, that sort of thing.
Normal, I suppose, for an actor of your stature. Certainly, you are the marquee entertainer here at the draw. How do you find working with a massive ensemble of essentially amateurs and townspeople?
How do you think I find it?
But then the payoff to them must be so great. Working with a consummate professional of your caliber, it must be an invaluable experience.
Well, of course it is.
Because they're hardly paid as well as you are.
Why should they be paid as well as me? I don't expect any guilt here. I did my time in Stockpaw. I did the crap rolls. I kept D. Parker Clooney company on the road in the old days.
That's right. You understudied the great Clooney.
Under something, in any event. Listen, Paul, I know where you're going with this. I know some of the displaced townspeople are pissed. I know these so-called young, so-called actors are grumbling about pay and working conditions. I'll tell you straight, I could care less. At least these brats have the comfort of theater school. I had to worm my way into the craft by playing manservant to a gin-soaked limey who'd been drummed out of the National Theater.
But surely, Philip,
you can... I'd like to see some of these theater school types tool around the colonies with a troop of alcoholics in exile. I'd like to see them live a life of second-rate bedroom farce. Let them suffer just a little. Builds character.
Well, you can feel the tensions in the town. They're an echo of the historic events on which the pageant is based. Now, you worked at the Actor Studio, Philip. Is there some method to all this?
Paul, there's nothing more to this than an aging actor trying to make some fast cash to extricate himself from the mess created by bad management and hangers-on.
Really, now, who'd do such a thing?
I don't know if I should say it. Earl Vardy took me to the cleaners, Paul. Put everything I had and more into some penny stock on the Newfoundland Exchange. If I didn't take this gig, I'd be living on Dr. Ballard's in Aquavelva.
I've been there, Philip.
Excuse me, Mr. Dean, it's 7 o'clock.
Oh, it's my dresser and footboy, Paul.
Of course, the great actor prepares. Well, we'll leave you, Philip Dean. Thank you very much for doing this. Now, break a leg. I can hardly wait.
I hope you enjoy it, Paul.
Philip Dean paid Paul Moth the ultimate compliment when he agreed to perform the lead role in the radio adaptation of Paul's autobiography. The Rocky Road to Recovery was produced for BCN's radio drama series, Playlets. Dean subsequently acquired exclusive rights to the production, so we have no excerpt available. But we can play you this.
A shocking tale of one man's descent into hell.
They took me off the film.
I don't know. Whatever an agent does, I suppose.
Well, isn't that a conflict of interest? How can you represent both of us?
You're letting me go. But it was my concept. Hello? 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 Nino!
The Paul Moth Story.
Mas, Miska. Hey, muchacho. Miserable lying scum. Screw you, L.A.
Hitting bottom in the city of angels.
1654 Ventura. 1654 Ventura.
The Paul Moth Story. Thursday night at 9. Some material not suitable for young listeners.
Today's pithy survey of the Paul Moth tapes should give us pause to ponder the role of cultural scribes and broadcasters. A great artist can unearth a voice buried deep within us all, a voice of truth and beauty. Amazing, really, to find this precious skill amongst such a petty, hidebound, and poorly groomed community of people. The wannabes and pseudo-journalists who comprise the arts media are charged with the grim responsibility of wading into that community and delivering us those voices. Today, we here at the BCN tip our hats to Paul Moth, a man who, through his dogged enthusiasm and workmanlike approach, has brought the great and not-so-great voices of Newfoundland art to us all. Great Eastern is broadcast live to you from our studios in St. John's. Hollis Duffett is our engineer, and Ish Lundgren is the director of radio at the BCN. You can view BCN history, biographies, and much more on our homepage. Set your web browser to www.greateastern.cbc.ca. CBC Radio 2 rebroadcasts The Great Eastern on Saturday evenings. And we can be heard in Latin America, the Caribbean, and the United States on Sunday at 0230 UTC via the shortwave service of Radio Canada International. My name is Erling Biggs. Paul Moth returns to this chair next Saturday for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Erling Biggs, your weather watchdog with Traffic Alert. Traffic Alert brought to you by Furlong's Confections. Whether it's butterscotch, bullseyes, or molasses, enjoy a Furlong knob today. First,